This morning's reading is Psalm number 100. It can be found in your Bibles in front of you in the Old Testament section, pages 581 and the beginning of 582, and also hopefully it will be on the screen above. And it's titled A Psalm of Thanksgiving, All Lands Summoned to Praise God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Here endeth the reading.
Thanks, Rob. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we pray that we will know your presence, be transformed by your presence, and go from here to be your presence in the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Apparently we're starting a new series today, which is about what Jesus is going to find when he turns up. I remember hearing somebody speak once, and they said that they were in a Latin American country, and she said, I was in the shower and there was an earthquake. Okay, and actually this was somebody who was obviously terribly keenly anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus, because she thought, it's the end of the world, and I have no clothes on. Oh dear. Okay, and then came out, it was only an earthquake. There we go. That was all right. Which I think you can be over-expecting, it's fair to say. Also, that's just quite interesting that this was somebody who was thinking, curses, I have been caught doing the wrong thing. Okay, you can get T-shirts which say, Jesus is coming back, look busy. Okay, some of the time we can be thinking, oh, well, you know, I mean, when Jesus comes back, we should really be doing something holy. Okay, and that plays into some of the stuff that I want to say about the idea of us being a worshipping community. Okay, so I'm not going to talk too much about whether Jesus is turning up a week on Tuesday or not, and I've read the signs and so on. A number of years ago, I remember speaking at a conference, some of you might remember this. This was a time when there was a particular preacher in America who had come out and said that they had worked out that the Lord was coming back on a particular day. And actually, it was going to be the morning of the Saturday. So me and my friend Joanna did the first session. I started off with this and said, we've not prepared any content past tomorrow morning because apparently Jesus will be back. We did have an emergency plan. So I'm not going to be talking about that much, but it does actually lead into one of the key points that I wanted to make about worship, which is that actually part of what we do when we gather together to worship is actually, to some degree, practice for what comes next. Okay, so that it talks about in New Testament about Jesus coming back and there being a new heavens and a new earth, and that the world will be transformed and we will be transformed. And actually that then leads into the life of eternity, which is not involving sermons. Okay. Most likely, it is not involving people like me standing up and whittering at you, but it does seem to involve a lot of worship. Okay? And actually, there is something about saying, why do we worship? Well, actually, for at least three reasons. One is, it's what we're going to be doing. Okay, so if you read the depictions of what's going on in terms of the eternal life of the coming of the kingdom, actually it seems to involve an awful lot of worship. Okay, also it is what we are built for. There's some of you will know there's a thing that dates from the time of the Reformation, roughly, called the Westminster Confession, which says the chief end of humanity is to worship God and enjoy God forever. Okay, so it's what we're actually for. Okay, and also, some of you will know the word worship comes from the same word that we get the word worth from. Okay? So the idea is that actually God is always worthy of worship. Okay? That God is always worthy of worship. So there's something to do with us and there's something to do with God. That making sense, hopefully? Okay? So that's some of the why. Okay? But it's worth stepping back and thinking also some of the what and the how. Now, some of you know my day job is I work working with people who are exploring or training for or in various different types of ministry and service. And one of the things I'm doing at the moment is a course. So each Wednesday evening, I'm hiking off to Staley Bridge, which is quite a drive, on a Wednesday evening, and running a course which we've been running around the diocese for what we call occasional worship leaders. Yes, we were terribly chuffed when we came out with the realisation that makes owls. Okay, so there's a whole thing about saying, oh, I'm off teaching people to fly, etc., etc. That's to do with resourcing people to be leaders of worship. Now, what was really quite interesting was somebody came up to me the other day and said, but do you have to be able to play the guitar or the keyboard? And I said, no, it's not actually about sung worship. It's about how we gather together and what we do when we worship. And that's just interesting, isn't it? It's one of the things that Henny said at the start. Sung worship is a key part of what we do when we worship, okay? But it's not the whole of it. It's not the whole of it. So when people say, you know, oh, are we a worshiping community? Actually, are you paranoid enough to be thinking, well, I've got to be singing something when Jesus turns up. That's what I need to be doing, okay? And it's interesting that we can easily get into that idea that this kind of thing is what worship is, that it's all about singing, okay? Now, I was at Chester Cathedral yesterday during the day and the afternoon. There was a marvellous little bit of a slight typo that two commas were missed out at one point. It was supposed to say, stand, comma, if able, comma, to sing. One of them just said, stand if able to sing. Okay. You don't need to be able to sing to be worshipping God. Okay? But within a cathedral setting or within a setting like this, it's awfully easy to think worship is about the songs that we sing. Okay? And some of you will know that actually it's easy to get into the point where it can turn into performance. Okay, and we can do that as much with a worship band as with, a robed choir or whatever. We can easily get into this idea that actually it's about you guys watching people up the front do stuff and sing stuff and so on and so forth. But actually, one of the key things that I'm saying within the training stuff that I do is actually this is about making a space in which we can all gather together and we can all be involved in worship. So it's not performance, and sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the music that that becomes the main thing. Some of you will know there's a song called When the Music Fades, which is from a point in a particular charismatic church's life where they thought, hang on, we've got so focused on the music stuff that we've kind of forgotten about Jesus. And the focus has become the music, and that's easy to do in any setting. But also, that's important then to remember in terms of saying what we do when we worship is not just singing. So what is some of the stuff that we do? One of the things, and you might be surprised to find this, one of the things I do in that particular training course is go through some of the stuff that the Church of England says about worship. And here's an interesting bit from one of the canons, which are the rules of the Church of England. And it says, all worship should be, and I really like this, glorifying to God and edifying to the people. It should glorify God and edify the people. Edify meaning building up. Okay? And actually, the title today is not, will Jesus find worshipping individuals, but will Jesus find a worshipping community? Okay? And actually, that's then worth thinking about. What do we do? I mean, because we can worship God individually, just as individuals. But what are we doing when we gather together? What are we doing when we gather together to worship? Couple of thoughts on that. So, I've been waffling for a while. I'm going to get you to do something. Okay? And some of you will remember this because I've done it before. Okay? Could I get you to just move your hands around? Okay? Okay. That's applause in BSL, you know. Okay. So, could I first ask you to do this? Okay? Because we gather together to be with one another, don't we? Okay? That makes sense? So we have the dimension of church and of worship, which is sometimes referred to as in, towards one another. That makes sense? Now, if we just gathered together to be with one another, we could just be a social club, couldn't we? And it's scary how often church can just be that. Because we also need the up dimension, okay? So one of the dimensions of church is our relationship not just with each other, but with God. That makes sense? Okay? And one of the things that we sometimes say about church is that it's a group of people who, in coming closer to God, come closer to one another. Okay? But one of the things that I often say is that there are three dimensions of church. There is the in dimension and the up dimension. But also there is the out dimension, okay? Which is that we gather together so that we can go off again. We gather so we can scatter. We gather so that we can be sent. That makes sense? So we gather together with one another and with God so that we can go out into the world. And some of you will know, we might say these words later, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. So we come here together so that we can go out. That making sense? Okay? I mean, the other stupid exercise I sometimes do to people is I say, okay, could I just ask you to take a breath? Okay? So take a breath. Get difficult after a while, isn't it? Okay? Church life involves breathing in and breathing out. We gather together so that we can go out. We breathe in, we breathe out. If you just do one of them, it's going to be uncomfortable and it's not going to work. Okay? So you need to do both. So in worship, we gather together so that we can go out. And earlier on, Henny read some words from Romans chapter 12. It says, not in the Message version, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Then it says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Not conformed, but transformed. And actually, one of the key things about worship is that it is about transformation. We gather together to meet with each other and to meet with God so that we can be transformed and that we can go out and be part of God's transforming of the world. Sometimes said, when it comes to worship, when it comes to gathering together as God's people, we come as we are, but we do not go as we were. That we meet together to meet with God, to meet with one another, and to be transformed by that encounter, so that we can then go out to love and to serve the Lord in the power of the transforming Spirit who has transformed us, and actually we become part of God's transformation of the world, and a world which sorely needs to be transformed and to know change. And so hopefully that just gives you some thoughts about what it is that we're doing when we gather together to worship. It ain't just singing. It is meeting with one another and with God so that as then people transform by that encounter, we can go out and be part of God's transformation of the world. And actually then that means that it ain't just singing now and it ain't just singing then. Okay, it's actually about everything that we bring. That song, Heart of Worship, When the Music Fades, says, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you desire. Actually, we bring all of ourselves. That passage from Romans said, present your, what? Bodies. All of ourselves. All of ourselves. Right at the back end of this service, I think we're going to sing a song which is, I will offer up my life. Not my voice, not just standing if I'm able to sing, okay? But we will offer up all of ourselves, which is going to mean, actually, not just our singing, not just our presence, but our time and our money and our talents and our gifts and everything that we can bring to God. The stuff that we do in pointy buildings like this on a Sunday, but also as we remember every time we do this time tomorrow, the stuff that we offer and bring and are doing wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, our money and our time, our service and our smiles, our thoughts and our prayers, and all of the stuff that we don't necessarily think is particularly holy, but actually God is passionately interested in and fascinated by and wanting us to bring to him to be transformed and to be lived out. So, are we as a community people who then gather together so that as individuals but still in community be worshipping God, be praising God, be actually giving all of ourselves to God in worship and service in every moment that we have? And actually that means even if you're caught in the shower, that's all right, because all of it is life before and in the grace of God. So I hope that just gives some thoughts. It's worth just coming back and thinking, why do we do this? Why do we do this stuff? It's what we're made for. It's what we're destined for. God is always worthy. But also it's something that we gather together so that together we can be encouraged and edified. We can glorify God and edify the people. And then we can go from here transformed and changed and built up by that to be part of God's transforming of the world. And all of that is our worship. Everything that we do and everything that we are. And so may everything that we do and everything that we are be glorifying to God and edifying to the people. Amen.